Should be there. Yeah, lovely. Sorry. I'm Graham, if you don't know me. I'm on the PCC and do a few other things around the church, and tonight I've been asked to speak on front lines. This is the fourth one in the series. So far we've had front lines, the call. What is my front line and why does it matter? Front lines, commission. How to cope with difficult situations on our front lines. Front lines, community. How we as a church together can support each other on our front lines. And this week it's front lines, concern. I'm not quite sure where concern fits in. I think it's just another C word, so it kind of fits in the series. The idea is that tonight we look at, well, what actually are we meant to be doing? What is it that about our front lines that we're expected to be involved in? What does God expect of us? Now, the reading that David just gave us is the set one for this evening, and it just fills you with a little bit of dread, doesn't it? The idea that we should be like Peter and John and just go to people and say, I don't have any money, but I'm going to heal you, which is a bit of a scary thing for most of us. Our front lines are the places where we meet people. It's where we actually interact outside of church, particularly, although I'd say a front line is also in church. There are all sorts of people that we interact with, and we can be a good witness or a bad witness. We can show Jesus or we can show how human we are. And we've talked about front lines being like work, out on the street, in the home with family. But there's also, we haven't mentioned actually, online presence. And for the few young people who are here, your online presence is an incredible witness for good or bad. Everything that we say on Twitter, Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, it's easy just fire off a message and then actually think, people misunderstood this or taken offense at it. So there's lots of ways that we can actually put our foot in it and get it wrong. Can you put up my first slide, please? Mike, thanks. How do you feel about the series so far, about the ideas of what you're meant to be doing out there on your front line? Do you get the impression you're meant to be some kind of pushy evangelist? You always preach the gospel. You always give the word. Or the next one, am I meant to be a super Christian, really holy and obviously Christian? Wherever you go, everyone says, look at them. Or are we meant to be a super good Samaritan, helping everyone that we see, every situation we come across, we get stuck in and do something? Or do you feel, I'm not very Christian, really, especially when I'm at work. It's rather hard to show Jesus in the place that I am. Or can you say, when I'm working, how on earth can I think about Jesus? You know, I'm on the phone to someone. I'm writing a document. I can't focus on God. How am I meant to be witnessing on my front line when I'm doing that? Or you may well have an employer who's very sticky about anything to do with religion. You know, particularly the NHS, local government. You can very easily put a foot wrong if you're too obvious. Or could you be saying, I have so many front lines, there's so many areas, different places where I'm involved with other people. Where on earth do I start? What should I be focusing on? Or it could be the opposite. I hardly see anybody. I come to church, I go home, I don't have a job, you know. I hardly see anybody. So how can I be doing all these things? Where are my front lines? So, Mike, if you put up the list of all of them, I want you just to spend a minute thinking, what issues have you had so far with this whole series of front lines? Is it any of those? Because I've thought some of those things myself. What is it that kind of scares you or worries you or makes you think, What am I meant to do? What is it all about? I think our front lines is a way of just saying, how do I live for Jesus? That's really what it's about. And it's, how am I aware of the people around me? And how do I enable them to see Jesus in me? How can I witness to him? There are all sorts of kind of defaults that we subconsciously fall into. One might be that, well, I'm meant to be good, to show a set of standards, sort of a Ten Commandments, where people can say, well, they're a Christian, you know that, because they're like this, because they do this and they don't do that. That's a kind of a rigid set of rules, which, to be honest, most religions have. But that's not what Jesus taught. He didn't say we fit a set of rules and follow it. So maybe we should be guided by, what would Jesus do? That's a nice fail-safe, isn't it? You think, well, if Jesus was in this situation, what would he do? And most of the time the answer is, I've no idea what he would do. He wouldn't be in this situation for a start. And we are not Jesus. You know, he was a bit different to us. Sometimes you can get a feeling, an idea, well, maybe Jesus wouldn't be that unkind, or he wouldn't be that unpleasant or respond in that way. But it doesn't really help us get to grips with how we should be living for him. In a series like this, it's very easy to just talk about ideas and not use scripture. But I want to use some scripture tonight. So David, if you can be ready from your seat, he's going to read a couple of verses for us. The first one is Colossians 4, verse 6.
Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
And then Matthew 5:14.
You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
So those two verses cover salt and light. We often talk about being salt and light out there. And the thing about being salt or being light is that it's not such an active thing. It's about what you are, not about what you're trying to be or what you're trying to do. We witness just by how we are. Hopefully that's a good witness. May not always be a good witness. But it's not about thinking, how am I going to do this in every situation? When we're out in the world, we are just meant to be Jesus to those around us. It doesn't mean we have to go around healing everybody, meeting every need. It's just being there, because you're bringing God's kingdom to the place where you are. Does that mean that actually I don't have to think about it anymore? You know, I'm a Christian, I am what I am, so that is my witness. That's my front line sorted. You can think like that, but actually I think being salt and light is still intentional. It's what we choose to do, how we respond in all the different situations. If you're anything like me, it's very easy to kind of coast, for your mind just to switch off to the whole Jesus Christian thing, and you just do what you have to do. You do what needs to be done. You don't think about God in most situations. You just live and do and respond to things. But I think what the Frontline series is about is thinking about what has God put me in this place for? Why am I here? What is it that is special about me that God wants to use in these various places where I interact with other people? I think often we kind of dodge that question. We come up with excuses. This is not where I want to be, God. This is not the life that I hoped for. I wanted something a bit different. I'm in a horrible job. I really hate this. And how can you expect me to be positive? Or the people we live with or work with are impossible. You just can't deal with them. You can't talk to them. Or even, no one here knows who I am. I'll probably never see them again, so it doesn't matter what I'm like. I don't have to do any witnessing because I'm never going to see them again. And the root of it often is that we're blaming God for things that we don't like about our situation. We're kind of saying, well, it's God's fault, so why should I witness? You know, why should I be godly Christian in this place? But that's because we don't understand that God has a purpose which may not fit our comfortable life that we'd like or that we think we would like. Believing in God's purposes for us are part of kingdom theology. And I just want to do a bit of that because God's kingdom is what front lines are all about. So I'm going to go a bit more into scripture. I'm going to read this one. It's Philippians 2, beginning at verse 1, but I'm going to, for time's sake, I'm going to miss out a section. But I always encourage people, never believe the guy at the front, read the word yourself. Always make sure that what they're saying is what it says, and it's in context. Hopefully what I'm saying is in context. So, Paul writes to Philippians, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Wherever you are, the kingdom of God is there. God lives in us. The Spirit is with us. That means that God's kingdom is wherever we are. So it's not just us. It's not just poor little me. It's me and it's Jesus. We're together in this. We don't have to try to get God's kingdom to come with us. It's in us. If we belong to him, his kingdom is in us. And in God's kingdom, it's the place where God is. Where God is, there isn't pain. There isn't loneliness. There isn't selfishness. God's kingdom meets the needs of people. It delivers from pain, loneliness, and selfishness. And because we are God's kingdom, it uses us. So wherever we go, we need to be bringing God's kingdom actively. I think sometimes when we kind of hear these sermons on what we should be doing, this, that, and the other, we think, oh, hold on. There's so much. I mean, you only have to walk along Gillingham High Street and you'll see a dozen people that you could possibly help in one way or another. But God doesn't tell us to deal with every situation we come across. What we have to do is be listening and be aware for the things that particularly need us at that time. It may be that you don't meet any of those needs. You need to be somewhere else doing something else. I think that kingdom theology is very much wrapped up in the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus is reported in Matthew 6, verse 9, telling us how to pray, he said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So how does this guide us every day as we're out and about? It starts with, hallowed be your name. We honour God. We should try and honour him in everything we do. Watch our language. Don't get involved in the vulgar jokes. Don't respond in kind when we're antagonised. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to be aware of the opportunities to bring those kingdom values. Bring a piece of heaven to the place where we are. God is with us. Jesus is beside us. The Holy Spirit is in us and available to us. And we need to believe that actually God cares enough to be involved with us where we are. Because it's not about us, it's about God and his kingdom. It's so easy for us to think it's about me and what I'm doing, but it's not. It's about God using us. Give us today our daily bread. Be thankful as often as you can, in all times if possible, even if it's through gritted teeth. Be aware of everything that God has done for us by his grace. Because when we look at what Jesus has done for us, it puts everything into perspective. Those things that we feel aggrieved by are not so important when we compare what Jesus has done for us. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. We need to be quick to forgive, not to take offense easily. Ready to shake off smears and unkindness towards us. And try and think about loving the other people, because God loves them just as much as he loves each one of us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We need to be aware of our weaknesses, those areas where we easily fall. We need to avoid the situations where we know we're weak. And we need to run from temptation. We end in the liturgical version, the Lord's Prayer, with, "For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours." Because that's what life is about. Life is about life with Jesus, with God. And it's the life that he lives through us. It's us being available to him. As I said before, it doesn't mean that we have to be thinking about God all the time. But particularly if we're thankful, then there's so many occasions during the day when you actually say, "Oh, thank you, God. That was good." I find there's quite a few of those situations. So how do we know what we should be doing on our front lines? If I can have my summary there, Mike, thanks. Number one, it should be natural. It should be a part of who we are. not forced or trying to be something that we're not. But we must be intentional about it, about bringing Jesus into each situation, to be aware of his presence. Involve him, talk to him, listen to him. Be aware that God is wherever you are. We need to be positive, thankful, forgiving, loving. The kind of people that we would like everyone else to be. We need to have integrity. That means saying what you mean, meaning what you say, doing what you say. And it means thinking before you speak so you don't say the wrong thing at the wrong time. I'm not very good at that. I often open my mouth too soon. We need to be aware of the situations around us and be prepared for God to use us. And when we failed, we need to say sorry, know we're forgiven, and carry on with a clean sheet. Because that's what God does. He just wants us to be aware of when we fail, so we can say sorry, draw a line under it, and start again. So that's my thoughts on our front lines and how we deal with them. I thought it'd be good, if you're anything like me, you know, a lot of these series, they just bring up lots of questions about, well, what about this? And